You're running. This is Nomi Delazan. Your Rabbi and family. I'm one of those rabbis that Goldberg spoke about earlier, who when he saw that I was coming to speak for the Rav Yitzchak Elazan community kollel, but I knew Rav Yitzchak Elazan. He had a wonderful young Avreich in the kollel, Rav Tavi Kazau, who met and courted Mrs. Elazan's daughter, Avi's sister. I came in to be Mesader Kedushin at the wedding, and while speaking to Dr. Elazan, I realized that this is a very special person, a Yerushalmi, Ben Yerushalmi, someone who had chosen to go to the Hesder in Keren Biafna, was very close to Rav Goldin, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, an individual who, as a medical doctor, as Rav Goldberg pointed out, was never without a sefer, always wanted to hear a Dvar Torah, always wanted to share Torah, and was a true mevakesh, a true seeker, a true searcher for his entire life. And the fact that the kollel is endowed in his memory is a tribute to his life. This is who he was, and it's a tribute to his ideals and to his dreams. And it's very, very special to be here and be reunited with the Elazan family on this occasion. Before I speak for a few words, I just want to recognize the presence of a very special individual here in the audience who doesn't know that I'm going to mention them. Although I've been blessed to live in Eretz Yisrael for the last 47 years, the first 23 years of my life, I lived in the Bronx. My father was the Rav of a shul, and my father had a very, very special colleague who was the Rav of a neighboring shul, and that colleague has a very special Rebbetzin who is here, Mrs. Dorit Adler, and I want to wish her that I've been at Esther, and she should have good health in around her, being surrounded by her family.
Amen.
Rav Goldberg spoke about the uniqueness of Rabbi Shabtai in terms of being the Rosh Beit Midrash. I want you to know that I am a living testimony. I have been here for only a little more than 48 hours, and this is the eighth time that I am speaking to all different audiences. So I can testify that the kollel really has has spread out and has been a tremendous influence on so many people in so many frameworks. And it's really something to celebrate. And I'm going to speak to the Ktzirat HaOmer relatively shortly, but hopefully the message will be a message that will resonate with you. There's a very, very beautiful explanation of a question that can be raised. The explanation was given by Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, and the question, I think, is an obvious one, that in the Torah we find two marches, two celebratory marches of Klal Yisrael after their leaving Mitzrayim. The first was the march of leaving Mitzrayim, in which the Torah says that they left Biyad Ramah with a certain pride and presence of being able to be free individuals leaving Mitzrayim. And then, only a little more than a year later, the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, again we read that they're about to begin a march to the Promised Land, a march to Eretz Yisrael. But here, they were given specific places in which they should encamp, in which they should march, and they were given digalim, they were given flags, otot, they were given unique colors, unique symbols that represented each tribe in terms of its mission statement. And they went out with such pride, and unfortunately that march, as we're aware, was tragically interrupted by Peta Meraglim and had to be repeated only close to 40 years later. And the question is, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu already knew that every one of these tribes had an identity, had a symbol, had a flag, had that they could rally around, wouldn't it have been even more meaningful had they left Mitzrayim in that manner? Wouldn't that have added tremendously, immensely to the Yad Ramah, to Bnei Yisrael Yatzu Al Tzivotam, if they would have shown that they are really free people, that they have an identity, they have a mission. Every tribe has its own special, special, special mission. And Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky answered that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew the opposite would happen. That were each tribe to be given its mission statement, its identity, it would cause pirud. It would cause friction. It would cause tension. That there would be one-upmanship. These are the warriors, and these are the scholars, and who is more important, and who should march first, and who should march second. And there would be ego trips. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't let them have all of this paraphernalia when they left Mitzrayim. But then the question is, so why bring it in at all? So why is there any difference between the first march and the second march? Won't the same issues that would have affected the first march affect the second march? And Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky explained that the difference is this week's parasha. The difference is the building of the Mishkan. But the first march was before there was a Mishkan. Before there was a Mishkan, giving each tribe its uniqueness would cause division. After there is a Mishkan, after there is some centripetal force that pulls everything together, after there's a heart, then the tribes can become like organs of a body. And there's a certain organic unity. The eyes and the ears are not jealous of one another. The feet and the arms do not have a fight over who should come first and who should come second. They're all part of one whole. Every one of them has his chelek in that whole, has his part in that whole. And the Mishkan, being in the center, was able to serve as that rallying point, serve as that focal point. And the Mishkan also had a focal point. And that was the Aron, and that was Torah. And to a certain degree, this is what a community kollel can accomplish, to take all these individuals, every one of them was with his own uniqueness, with his own character, and unite them, bring them all together, have a common purpose, a common goal of growing together, of being able to feel a sense of oneness, a sense of wholeness. And it's so special that the community has rallied around in this manner. The Kruvim, the cherubs who are on top of the Aron, the Baal HaTurim points out, there are all different shitot, there are many, many different explanations of exactly what did the Kruvim look like. Some say that one had a boy's face, one had a girl's face. Some say one had a teacher's face, one had a student's face. Some say they were both children. The Baal HaTurim says they were chaverim. They were like two friends. Shenosnim, v'nosnim, v'torah. That were learning Torah together. Two friends learning Torah together. That was the picture of the Kruvim on top of the Aron. And the Shina came from between those two Kruvim. Shnayim sheyoshim v'oskim v'torah, Shina imahem. And so, in this respect, the Kolo can serve as that Aron and his Kruvim. But when one thinks about the Mishkan, there appears to be something missing. We know that the Mishkan was the focal point of Torah. We know that the Mishkan was the focal point of Avodah, of Korbanot. The Mishkan had the Aron. The Mishkan had the Mizbeach. But we also know that in Pirkei Avot it speaks about the fact that the world stands on three legs. It stands on Torah and Avodah and Gemilut Chasadim. Where was the Gemilut Chasadim symbolized in the Mishkan? It's very hard to say that of the three aspects of being a Jew, of being able to have a Torah connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and a Torah connecting to yourself, Torah, there's also a Torah that's supposed to connect individuals. Gemilut Chasadim, where is the Gemilut Chasadim symbolized in the Mishkan? And I think the answer is found in the pasuk itself dealing with the Kruvim, with Nehem Ish El Achim. That each of them was looking at the other. Each of them was concerned with the other. Each of them was trying to give to the other. They weren't only learning that they should be able to grow in terms of Torah, but that their chavruta, the one they were learning with, that he should grow, that she should grow, that this should be a mutual growth. And that's the Gemilut Chasadim of the highest level, that you want to help someone rise spiritually on his plane, to the degree that he can. And that's the Pneihem Ish El Achiv. Chazal gives as the ultimate concept of learning Torah with this Pneihem Ish El Achiv, the generation of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yudai, Isha Yirat, Yirat Hashem Hitit Halal, that the generation that represented Torah and Gemilut Chesed was a generation where six people were able to be covered with one talit. How can six people be able to be covered with one talit? The Chaim Shmuel explained that each of them was trying to warm the other one. If each of them was concerned with the other, then there's no problem of being able to share one garment among six people. I just would like to conclude with a very beautiful explanation of Rav Shimshon Pinkus, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who had a tremendous influence on me and on many others who are sitting here in terms of his beautiful sarim, that he related to the story, which is brought, many of us know it, from the Kuntrus HaChesed of Rav Dessler, that Rav Dessler in his Mitzvah Eliyahu has a whole section where he wants to divide the world into givers and takers, into notnim and notlim. And he tells the story, he quotes the Medrash, of Alexander the Great. That Alexander the Great once traveled beyond the mountains of darkness and he came to a country called Katsia. And he came to see the king of this country, and the king was sitting in judgment. And two people were standing in front of the king arguing with one another, and Alexander the Great came forward, stood on the side, and listened to the argument. One of them said, "I just bought a field from this individual, and I found a treasure. I was digging in the field and found a treasure. I didn't buy a treasure. I bought a field. This treasure belongs to the original owner." And the original owner says, "I don't know what he's talking about. I sold him the field. I sold him the field with everything in it. If there's a treasure, it belongs to him." And they're arguing. One claims that the treasure belongs to the other. The other claims the treasure belongs to the other. And the king is sitting there in judgment and decides, he asks one of them, "Do you have a son?" He asks the other one, "Do you have a daughter?" And when they respond in the positive, so the king says, "Well, think about the possibility of your son marrying his daughter, and then you'll give the treasure to both of them, and they'll be able to live happily ever after." And Alexander the Great is looking at this, and his mouth is open, and the king says, "Did I make a mistake? And what would you have done in this situation?" Alexander the Great said, "I would have killed those two fools and taken the treasure for myself. What kind of business is this?" So Rav Dessler brings this in terms of the nature of Alexander the great taker, and the possibility of being a giver. But Rav Pinkus asks, what kind of judgment is that? Even if we say that you shouldn't take it for yourself, what does it mean? Do you have a son? Do you have a daughter? Let's put them together. Where's the judgment? And he said, well, we have a Mishnah in Baba Metzia that every child has learned at some point in his life. Ze omer kulo shali. That when one claims, "Oh, that object is all mine, I found it," and the other one says, "No, ze omer kulo shali. No, no, it's all mine." So we say, each of them gets half. What if we have a case of ze omer kulo shalo? One says it all belongs to him, and the other one says, ze omer kulo shalo. So then the judgment is that it belongs to both of them. Then it belongs to both of them. Now how can we have it belong to both of them? Well, if this one has a son, if this one has a daughter, it can belong to both of them. That's learning Torah, B'gmilut Chesed. When I'm learning and I say my Torah is all his, and he says his Torah is all mine, that is the highest level of learning, and it belongs to both of them. And that's what the community Kola has created. It's created chaverim who are sitting and learning. It's created a kinyan of the community. The Torah belongs now to the entire community. And I can just give a birkat hedyot that you should continue to grow. You should continue to find new venues of spreading Torah, that everyone should have his chaver. Everyone should be roeh, p'nei chavero, to look at the other and see what can I give him. And in Yirtz Hashem, this will help bring Mashiach to the kingdom. Here we are.